Hey, it's Mentally Chill podcast time. Welcome to the show. If you've never listened before, this is a show where we have a casual, candid, and hopefully funny conversation about depression. So I hope you're in the mood for something like that. If not, well, you get in the mood. But I am glad you're here, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I had a good Thanksgiving, but you know what? Thanksgiving kind of bores me. Thanksgiving feels like the opening band before the Beatles are supposed to come out. Christmas is the Beatles. And so we just got the opening band out of the way, and now it's time for the headliner, Christmas time. Old Saint Nick, the headliner of the year. I'm excited for Christmas. I am a Christmas nerd, and I have my friend Jen, resident consultant Jen, some of you know her by, on the show today, who is a school psychologist and also my friend, and she is on talking about what it's like having a friend with depression. In case you couldn't tell, I'm that friend. And the techniques she uses to keep me in her life when I tend to isolate, and other things that she tries to do to pull me out of a depression, even though that's impossible. Her job as my friend is seemingly more difficult than people who are building rocket ships. But she is also a fellow Christmas nerd, and we sing Christmas songs in this episode because we grew up dancing together, and we would always do a Christmas show together, and her and I love Christmas so much. So get ready, be prepared to turn your volume down because we do sing. That's, I guess, the show disclaimer for this week. And just a reminder, I'll be at Caroline's on Broadway December 1st, roasting ex-Yankee Shane Spencer and a bunch of other Yankees and a bunch of other D-bags. So you guys should come and join, watch me tell incredibly, incredibly inappropriate jokes. I keep it pretty mild for the show. So if you want to see an extreme version rather than a kind of mellowed version that you normally see, come check me out at Caroline's. You can find tickets for that at roastofshanespencer.com. And if you're looking for Christmas presents, you can get you or your loved one some Mentally Chill merchandise if your loved one is a fan or not. Just get them it regardless. Or you can buy yourself your own Christmas presents. So if you want Mentally Chill merchandise, go to shop.spreadshirt.com/mentally-chill-podcast. As I've said before, it's worth the carpal tunnel typing that in. And since the show is brought to you ad-free, please take a second and give me my tiny little micro payment. And you can do that by going to iTunes and clicking 5 stars. The more ratings, the better. So thank you in advance if you can do that. And I'd love to get to 500 by Christmas, so make that my Christmas present. I think we're at 423 right now. We can do it. We can do it. We can't really do anything else, but we can do this. We can do this. So please do that. And we will be watching a Christmas movie on Patreon on December 7th. That's a Friday, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time, 10:30 p.m. East Coast time. It's really hard to find a time that works for everyone, so we're trying that one out this time. And I think we're going to watch A Christmas Story because it's my favorite movie. Even though I posted a poll on the Patreon page asking what people want to watch, maybe we'll watch two. Maybe we'll watch one from the poll and then one from The Dictatorship. That's my movie. And A Christmas Story, it is. So go to patreon.com/mentallychill if you want to join in on our holiday spirit, because we don't have much spirit elsewhere. And that's it for today's intro. I hope you enjoy this week's show.
Those sparkling
city lights.
Those twinkling
city lights.
I'm giving you the one that you have to go higher.
I know.
Because I can't sing.
Do you know how different my life would be if my voice went up that octave?
I always say my life would be totally different if I had a good voice.
Me too.
I mean,
could
yeah.
you imagine?
No.
It's really sad. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about having a friend with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that friend
I
happens
to
be
one.
Me.
I think I have one.
Who would I know that has depression? And what's interesting is that when we were younger, you knew all about me and not fitting in my high school,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have depression at that point. It was always hard for me to get out of bed and stuff, but
yeah.
we were doing something that I enjoyed so thoroughly, and you did too,
mm-hmm.
that I would have never appeared to you to have depression, and I didn't at that point. Mm-hmm. But then later on, as we got older, you never knew I did, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about how you deal with a friend who has depression,
mm-hmm.
how you find out your friend has depression, and when to offer them a foot rub because my feet happen to be very close.
They're very close to me, and I'm very good at foot rubs, but I need to concentrate on what you just asked.
Okay. So let's get to the meat. Yeah.
I never thought you were. I know you were surprised when you came up with this podcast, and I'm like, what? You're depressed? Because I just thought you were Kristen. Like, that was it. Like you said, you didn't fit it in high school. You were a little quirky with some of your things. I know you were really upset about, like, things that happened. You were bullied. But then you were surprised. I just never knew you were clinically depressed.
Right.
Yeah. And you never liked to wake up early. And now as I'm in the field, I'm like, oh, yeah, those are definite signs. Yeah.
Would you say there were signs?
I think the sleep thing is a huge sign. I mean, now, yeah. I'm saying I back then you were a teenager.
Right.
Who knows, like, going through everything. But yeah, but now I definitely see it. And because I am in the field, like, I kind of feel like I know how to interact with you in a way that keeps our relationship going. Because if it wasn't for me, guys, we would not be friends.
And that's true. And that's what's so amazing about Jen and our friendship is that you pursue me in a way where other people would give up on me.
I'm the relentless. Paul would say the same thing. That's what I did to him.
Right, like, you just beat people down into submission.
Please.
But that's what I need. Because I think there are people that do attempt to be friends. And it's not that I don't want to be friends with them. It's just I'm not responding, or I'm not responding in a timely manner. And then they just kind of slowly dissipate. Mm-hmm. And we're still friends, but not like friends.
Right.
But you always reach out and you always call. And no one else really does that. Mm-hmm. If you were someone else, it'd be annoying. But because it's you, I love it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when you are mean to your mom, mm-hmm. you know you can be mean to your mom because your mom will always be there. Unless you have, like, a very terrible mom.
Yes. Yes. We're lucky we don't. We can, like, beat our moms and they're like, honey, would you like some pasta?
Yeah, they'll fold our laundry as we berate them.
Yes.
I was thinking about that recently because my friend Julia, who got married, mm-hmm. I was helping out with her mom and following her around almost like her assistant. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of in the mix of just her and her family. And she was being so mean to her mom, and her mom would kind of just look at me and go like, oh, you know, well, she's being a little bitchy.
Yeah.
And I would kind of shrug like, oh, that's a daughter. But that's, and I said to her mom, I'm like, we can do that because we know you'll always be there. And so with you, mm-hmm. I know you'll always be there. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, like, let's put a break on him. I won't be there forever. You're pushing it.
You are pushing it lately, I must say. But no, I just look at it as like a game. When you don't answer, I call you again, or I leave a voicemail that's like, you actually answered, so I pretend that I'm having a conversation with you, and then I'll text you and just be like, you know, I don't know, I'll bust your balls about it.
Right. And that's the best way to do it, because you're not treating me differently by being mm-hmm. sensitive and walking on eggshells around me,
right,
and asking me, oh, how are you doing? And really, people, when they're depressed, they don't, for the most part, generally want you to go, how are you?
Yeah.
Because we really don't really want to get into it.
You don't want to evaluate again.
No.
You don't want to. All you do is evaluate how you are all day. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't want to do it with your friends. So mm-hmm. you want like a break when you're with your friends. So you give me a break.
Yeah.
You keep it casual, fun, light. But you're also willing to talk if I really needed to talk. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to force the issue, which is incredibly important, because then I would definitely run away.
Yeah. What time did you wake up today, Kristen?
No. Today, I know. Well,
that's
but that would actually, but that'd be hilarious. If you were like, in a way, it would be very productive and helpful for me if I had to check in with you every day, like when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of done that with me, I think maybe a little bit in the past, where you've sent me a text early.
Yeah.
And you'll joke around that I'm definitely still sleeping or something. But to be held accountable is really good. And I do feel accountable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, I saw your text when I woke up, and I texted you late, and I knew you were probably sleeping, but mm-hmm. I knew I wouldn't wake up until late, so I sent it to you late at night when you were sleeping.
We're in different time zones, by the way, but we're really not.
Like, yeah, like metaphorically.
Yeah. We talked more when Kristen lived in California, because when I got up for the gym, she was just like getting into bed.
Right, right. No, for real though.
Yeah.
And now we're like so mentally on different time zones. But this morning when I saw your text, I felt like I needed to respond immediately because I didn't want you to think I was sleeping longer than I was. Yeah. So I do feel some accountability.
Right.
And a couple times when I haven't responded to you right away, and I've favorited something on Twitter, I'm waiting for you to be like, I saw that you fave something on Twitter.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Sometimes I feel like I am too hard on you.
No, you're not at all.
No, I do sometimes. I actually think about it. I'm like, man, I really shouldn't give her a hard time for that. Like, you'll say, oh, I got up at 11. And I'll be like, oh, well, I was like doing this and this and this before then. But I mean, I don't really rub it in your face that much, but I kind of push you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I do feel bad. And that's why I asked you to do this, because remember I asked you, okay, you should do a show about friends of people that are depressed, because I feel like I was excited about you moving, and then I try and try and try and call you and sometimes you'll answer and then sometimes you don't. But again, I understand and we'll make it through. But you have to, like, with your friends, just don't treat them differently and don't get offended.
Bust their balls. Honestly, that works for me so well. So what was the thing recently you were busting them? I keep saying busting, like my mom would say busting them. Just bust them on me. I don't know, but I love when you do that. And I think if you didn't do that, it would become a weirdly sterile relationship, mm-hmm. where I would avoid being honest about what I'm really doing, mm-hmm. because I don't know how you'd react, but because I know your reaction. And it's like an Italian guy who's tough, who's like, you know, come on, man. Like, you know,
giving you a thick skin.
Man up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes me man up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I need that, because when I don't answer and I'm not responding back right away, it's because I'm sinking into a hole, and I'm sinking and sinking and sinking. And then I need something to happen to jolt me out. Yeah. And so sometimes if I respond, it's because I'm truly trying to climb out of a hole that I feel like I'm in. And I know, because you're funny and we always have good banter in text, that it will wake my brain up a little bit.
Yeah, I know if I don't hear from you, at least with a text, I'm like, oh man, I got to keep pushing.
Yeah.
Because she'll eventually.
But it will occur to me to think, I don't want Jen to think I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that pushes me to text you back.
Yes, that's good. That's
I'm
good.
Like, I don't know. I don't want her to start planning the funeral quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I should probably, I don't want her to waste money. Because I know funerals are expensive. So what would you say to someone if their friend might be depressed and they don't know really how to ask them if they're depressed?
I think I just ask them questions that relate to depression, like
throwing in obvious hints.
You know, I think what's worked for us is I never really said to you, Kristen, are you depressed? I just kind of, we talk about it now because it's out in the open, but I think asking about, like, when you woke up, or telling you, and you're not supposed to give advice. Like, you're really not supposed to give your friends who are depressed advice. You're just supposed to be there for them. And I think the best thing you can do is just treat them like you would have treated them when they weren't depressed.
Yeah.
And like, go to that place where you guys were both happy and just, I don't know. Or if you never were, had that place, just kind of keep it light. And when you're calling and you don't stop or you don't give up, you're showing them how important they are to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives them more, a little bit of light in their life that they don't have.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, a person who's not depressed trying to give advice as someone who's depressed is like a math teacher trying to tell a hairstylist how to do hair.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't work. It's not going to work. You guys aren't on the same wavelength in that sense. So I think that's a good idea to not give advice. But what would you think about showing up at my house? Just you're always invited, but just showing up and being like, we're going out. That would make me so angry.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking, like, you need prep for.
Yes.
You needed prep for, like, me offering you chili today.
Yes, yes.
Like, no, that wouldn't work.
So I think people can't be disappointed when certain things don't work.
It's nothing personal. It's nothing against you. And I think in this day and age, like, we all think everything is personal. And that's why I think so many friendships probably end when one person is depressed, because people take it personally and think, oh, well, she doesn't think I'm important.
Well, I don't.
I mean, you can keep beating me if you want. I'll always be here. No, I'm just kidding. But I really don't. And I think another thing I struggle with, which I think a lot of people will, is just trying to fix it. Like, I've said to you multiple occasions, like, come live with me for 2 weeks and I will fix you.
And I'm like, hell no. Because in a way, you don't want to be fixed.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable. I don't want to be torn out of my environment that I can do whatever the fuck I please.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know that's what I need. And then I kind of have to question, do I even really want to not be depressed?
Yeah.
Because if there's a solution and I'm not taking it, why?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because I really think there's a chance I'll do it on my own? I don't know. But if I came here, I think, like, so if I came to your place, which is an hour and a half away from my parents, where I'm currently hanging out for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Chilling.
It's an hour and a half, so it's not like super far, but it's far enough where it's like a little bit of a thing. It's a thing. So I would be here for the 2 weeks. Like, I wouldn't be going back and forth or anything. And I would almost feel like you're my mom, or you're my mom if my mom was strict and I didn't like my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, you would become someone I had to answer to. When I stayed here last year or whatever, and you made me go for a walk at like 8:30 in the morning.
And it was beautiful. It was sunny.
Yeah, it was whatever. I like,
and like, she's gonna feel better, and like that, you can't think that way.
No, but it is getting someone on a better path.
Yeah.
And so
I did take you on a path.
You did take me on an actual path.
Yeah.
It looked like a jogger's path.
Yeah.
Where someone would probably get murdered.
Not in Clifton Park.
It's almost, I'm no longer given the choice to wallow in my own discomfort. And I've been allowed to wallow in it for so many years that I can't even fathom not being able to wallow in it. When my brother went to Utah.
I was just going
to
bring that up.
Did I talk about that on the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the best thing for my brother. Mm-hmm. And from the outsider's point of view, I would be like, yeah, do that. You looked great. You felt great. You were amazing. Your eyes were sparkling. Life was looking good. But from the inside, if someone said you have to go live with your grandfather and he's going to wake you up every morning at 6 a.m. and make you go do chores for the first 3 hours. Really, I think, I'm not trying to say being depressed isn't being mature, but I think when you are depressed, you continue to take the easiest path possible because everything else is so difficult.
Yeah.
And so I default to wanting to stay on this comfortable path because everything else is so hard.
Yeah. And I think I've tried multiple kind of ways or strategies with you. And one of them was, all right, you come live with me. I'm going to show her what she, you know, what will make her not sad anymore. Just keep her busy, like get her to wake up. But then I realized that doesn't work. You can't fix things. And I think that's where I struggle in where I work, because I always want to fix when kids come in, but sometimes I just need to just
like, if I could just bring this child home
and get him up at 4 a.m,
bring him to a little walking path in the woods,
everything would be okay. No, you just want to fix their problem when sometimes they just want to vent about it, or maybe they just don't want it fixed or whatever. But, and then another strategy I've used was like, I'm going to try to model it for Kristen. So I'm going to tell her that I'm at the gym. And then I'm like, am I making her feel
smart,
like shit? Or am I just showing her like, this is what she could do? And I'm, you know, just kind of,
I can see that logic. I would think that if I were you, like, cause I do that with my brother.
Yeah.
Where he's not super hip in a lot of ways. Like, he wears like white sneakers they make fun of on Instagram for dad jokes. So I'll try to like show my brother, hey, I'm on this website for Crate and Barrel or something to help him with his apartment. Like, I try to
already
hint
know
it.
What his rug looks like in his apartment. I bet you I know what it looks like.
Yeah, you know what it looks like, and it's not pretty. Stop picturing it. Yeah, I don't want you to die.
Because I think sometimes people just take that in and they don't realize it. Just, but then I question, like, and me telling her that I'm at the gym at 5 a.m., is that making her feel like garbage? Or me telling her that, like, oh, my day was so busy. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I think if we had competing lives, it wouldn't be beneficial.
Right.
So if I was competing to be a school psychiatrist and you were like, oh, well, I'm at the gym and now I'm finishing my thesis, I'd be like, shut up, bitch. But because we have completely opposite lives.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
And I more so when you're at the gym, it doesn't make me feel bad. I think maybe back in the day when I was hard on myself in terms of fitness, and I know your motivation isn't for fitness reasons to tell me this, but back before when I was obsessed with eating and working out, then I would have felt bad.
Right.
But more so, I've woken up because sometimes when I can't sleep, it'll be 4 something in the morning and I'll be like, ew, Jen's getting up right now. Oh,
like,
it's
hey, Kristen,
horrific.
I'm in the sauna.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
before
yes.
my workout.
Right. And I thought, that's horrific. It doesn't make me feel jealous, but I do feel proud of you, because it's not something that I want, but I do think it would help me, but it's not something I'm striving for. And so it doesn't make me feel bad.
You're skinnier than me.
And because I'm really tiny and skinny and like with the best body ever.
Just wait until I get skinnier than you and then it's going to start bothering you. That's like impossible.
Well, it's impossible because I just don't eat. So yeah.
You like the chili?
I do generally like chili. John offered me chili. I said, no, I need more mental prep for chili. And I do. But no,
what kind
normally
of
I wouldn't.
What mental prep do you need for chili?
Chili's like so heavy and hearty that I feel like I need to know tonight is chili night. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
It's like if someone walked in with Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're like, okay, this is a thing. Like, I have to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken right now.
This is where we differ a lot. I'd be like, bring that in. We're having Kentucky Fried Chicken
tonight. Right. So. Yeah. But it's weird because I don't think I need mental prep really for any other scenario, but chili and I don't know. Anyway, so.
It's okay. I should have force fed you it because then it would like push you out of your comfort zone.
Can you picture that? Well, honestly, though, it feels so good to know that you've thought this much about things to like want to help me.
Yeah.
And that does feel nice to know because I don't have any other friend that would think twice about force feeding me chili. I want the friend who's going to shove chili down my stupid throat and yell at me. And you do, you know. Mm-hmm. I have friends that I think really like me, but don't put any effort into it. And I don't think they should. Mm-hmm. And so for you to do that for me, I don't think you need to, but I think it's lovely that you do. And I feel honored, honestly. Like I don't want to make you feel too good. I feel it's lovely. It's lovely that you do. And I'm grateful for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm grateful for your not answering your phone. I'm grateful for you too. No, because honestly, this sounds crazy, but you driving an hour and a half just to come to my house, that might not be a big deal to you, but like a lot of my friends don't do that. Thank you.
Well, I also drove because I needed to take a podcast.
Yes, but
you know
yes.
what it is? You know what I think the problem is? I think for me and my depression socially is that I don't feel anything's pulling me out the door.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay in my comfort zone. And if something pulled me out the door, like this pulled me out the door to come do this podcast, and I'm so grateful it did because I'm having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wallowing in my own thoughts. I enjoyed driving here because I'm listening to the Hamilton soundtrack over and over and over and over, and it gave me an hour and a half worth of time to continue to listen to that. And then it perks my brain up to where when I'm here, I almost have a hard time imagining being depressed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm so disconnected from that feeling.
Working. It's working.
It's chilly.
No, what dragged you out of the house to come to my brother's Halloween party?
Honestly, that was when you first mentioned it, I really did want to go. I was like, a Halloween party sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
you get to dress up and hide yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then once it got closer to it, it started to feel like dread.
I was like, she's not coming.
And you knew I wasn't coming. But do you want to know kind of why I did come? Because you said I wasn't going to come.
See?
Yeah. But
this is called the Jen Reitinger strategy.
It's a good
get
strategy.
Your friends out of a depression for at least a little bit.
Right. And that's the thing is what matters is like for a little bit, because when I was at the party, I wasn't thinking about being depressed. I had fun getting dressed up. I had fun hanging out with you, of course.
Yes. It's always
watching
fun
your brother
to watch my brother be drunk,
get shit faced.
Yeah.
And then have a memory, you know, like I wouldn't have had that otherwise. But the thing that pulled me out was that I didn't want you to be like, oh, I knew she wouldn't come.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just need more motivation because I don't really find things generally fun.
Yeah, we have to strategically motivate you. Like you can't just be like, come to the party, but I really want you to.
Yeah, no.
That wouldn't work
No, that would. Yeah. I wouldn't come if that's what you said.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't have come.
Yeah.
So most people, though, aren't lucky enough to have a friend like you.
Oh.
They aren't.
Thank you.
So what does someone do when they're friendless? They need a way. They need a friend.
They can pay me.
Okay.
Money.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Are you actually, so when's the whole like, are you ever going to be hireable or are you always going to be in schools? I don't know.
Pretty sure I'm hired right now.
Well, you're always hireable, but I mean for private, are you ever going to be like a psychiatrist?
I don't know if I want to do private.
Like private practice.
I think right now I'm just having fun being in a school. And
that's
then
a phrase not uttered often. If you weren't studying this, would you be as intrigued with my depression or being my friend? Because I think I could almost be your thesis. Like you've been working on me for a long time. Like I'm research.
Yeah.
Do you think you connect to it more? Or like, would you give a shit basically is what I'm asking if you didn't have this background?
No, I think
background.
The friendship makes me more interested. I'm very into like finding ways to better myself, and I want other people to do that too. And I think that's separate, but just because you're my friend and I see, like, I get sad when I see you sad. I won't make this too deep because then my whole stream will be
it's over. Yeah,
but like I think it's you. Part of it's you, and then part of it's just my interest in people.
Is it partly me because of what my past means to you?
Like, what
because
do you mean?
Of our childhood beauty.
Like our fantastic.
We had a beautiful experience as children together. And if I like went away, I feel like you would lose more of that.
Yeah. No, like there's not many people I could talk to that understand what we went through. No one.
I can tell a million stories
to people and it won't. But yeah, that's, I do. I never want to lose that. I never want to lose being able to talk about that. But that's not the only reason. I think it's just, you know, just wanting to still be your friend. I haven't lost interest yet.
Well, you should, because I really give nothing.
No, that's not true.
And I feel bad because when we're on the phone, I want to ask about you, but the depressed person doesn't intentionally become selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes down that route because I know that you're pretty much okay.
Yeah.
And so it would feel unnatural for me to reach back out to you and say like, Jen, how are you?
Yeah.
Because I know you're good. Like, you're good. You're not a depressed person.
But I'm also one that's not comfortable with people asking me. But if I did have something to share with you, I would share it.
Yeah.
And I do. You may not even realize I do, but like if something's bothering me in life, like I do say it. Granted, you are doing most of the talking when we're on the phone, but I think that's my life too. If you think about like what I do on a day to day is just listen to people, their problems.
But do you ever feel forgotten
through it? I think I do sometimes, but I think that I feel confident in myself that I will for a second, and then I just get myself out of that.
But then do you feel grateful that you're in your position and not mine or someone else's?
I do feel grateful. I do. I don't want you to think that
I'm not you.
No, I don't want you to think that I don't have any problems. Believe me, everyone has problems, but it's just, I feel like I was just going to say what I hate saying. I'm blessed. I am grateful that I am able to, like, if I'm going through something, just to kind of like brush my, you know, self off and just go back out there. And I don't know if it's going to bite me in the butt later on in life, but I just keep myself busy and busy and busy. That's what I do.
So that's when I know you're not a depressed person, because when you're depressed, just getting up and dusting yourself off isn't even an option.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not the way your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wake up in the morning, I think for me and maybe a lot of people listening who have depression, I feel nothing pulling me out of bed. Nothing is enough to make living worth it in that moment. Once I get the motor going and I'm out and about, I start feeling better. But that beginning moment when you first open your eyes, are you like, oh, I'm happy to be awake, I'm going to get up and do things? Or are you like, ugh, I got to start the day?
Yeah, no, I'm not like up and at 'em. I am like, oh, I want to stay in my cozy bed. Why'd the alarm just go off?
But like today you didn't have to go to work, but you got up and you did stuff.
Yeah.
What was pulling you out of bed today?
You know what another thing is I have another person to live for here.
Right.
Like my husband, like he worked today and I'm not working. And I'm like, I need to get stuff done around the house because he's working and I'm not.
So say you were single, you didn't have Paul, and you had the day off. What would have happened?
I still would have went to the gym. I went a little
later. But like what? That's what the depressed person is so curious. Like what is pulling you there?
You know, because.
Why?
Because I know what it feels like on those days when I don't.
Okay. So that feels worse to you.
I can look ahead. Like I can. It's like, you know, that thing that teenagers can't do is like see the consequences.
Right.
Like I can see the consequences. The days that I don't work out, you can ask Paul, I'm miserable. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. That sounds like I'm kind of addicted to it, but it's just, I don't feel myself. And if I don't get stuff done, Paul and I actually are the same person. Like on a weekend, we both are like, I'm like, if he wants to play like his soccer video game, he's like, I'm just going to be a loser for like 45 minutes.
You have to warn each other.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's okay. Like whatever. And he's like,
I'm going to be a loser for like 45 years.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to do this outside. I'm going to do this and do this. And then I'm just relaxing for the rest of the night. And I'm like,
yeah, you have to justify
it. Yeah. It's weird. We both have, I don't know if I got that from him or he got it from me.
Yeah. Like you guys caught being a go-getter from each other. Like you'd catch an STD. So your brother has struggled a lot with some depression and OCD, but he has a daughter to keep him going.
His daughter gives him life, which I love seeing that. Like he,
well, honestly, I want kids now because I need something to pull me out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my mom recently about wanting kids, and I wonder if in her mind she's like, you probably wouldn't be a good mom, or does she think I'd rise to the occasion? And because I have a crying infant that needs my boob or small boob, I'd have to wake up. And I think I would rise to the occasion.
Yeah, I'm hoping you would rise to the occasion, but I don't think that's a reason to.
I know, but that's the bad thing. Yeah. Like I'm doing a little bit better at this current juncture, like this week specifically.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow could be a different story. But with my dog, I, you know, when he wakes up in the middle of the night, like you were just saying when I got here, your dog woke up once in the middle of the night or twice?
He's been doing it since winter started.
Okay. So he's been waking up twice and you have to get up. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that with my dog for like a year and a half now. And mm-hmm. I do it. Like when my dog jumps out of bed, I immediately stand up because my motivation is to not let him pee inside. And if he wanders too long, he will pee. And so I get up and I do what I have to do and I feed him and all that kind of stuff. And I know it's just a dog. It's much more simple, but I do have enough faith in myself that if there was a human being, I would. But I got the dog really because I needed a reason to go outside. And so it's like I want a kid because I need a new reason to go outside.
But that makes me question your level of depression, because there are mothers out there that can't get out of bed and don't because they have depression and they have a kid, but they can't. And that's neglecting their child. So,
and that supersedes that depression supersedes the need to keep your child alive. I think what keeps me going in that scenario is that I do have an incredibly guilty conscience. Mm. And so I can't live with myself if
somebody depending on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I couldn't live with myself if I was letting my dog suffer, letting him like pee all over himself or, you know, so that is one thing that motivates me. Like, I guess I'll take this moment to let you guys know how good of a person I am.
Okay.
So yesterday I was shopping for pajama pants. I'm desperately searching for a good pair.
Me too.
I can't find them. I can't.
Airy?
Well, there's no Aerie in Utica.
Okay.
So I was at Victoria's Secret yesterday and I had a bunch of pajama pants, pajama bottoms, went into the dressing room and it was very organized. It was a very quiet day at the store. And these girls come in, do their thing, leave. I open the door. They threw like their bras and everything all over. They opened up drawers in the dressing room. There's this like pretty little drawer area. Mm-hmm. They pulled bras out, like threw them all over. I was so disgusted. And so the depression in me was like, who cares? Walk away. But the moral I saw that and I was like, I can't let a store person see this and let that affect their day.
Yeah.
And so I folded their stuff and I put the bras away. I closed the drawers and I made sure it was neat and orderly before I left. So it's like, that motivates me.
Question. If your niece did that with your mom's stuff, would have you done the same thing?
Fuck no.
Yes. See, we do things for strangers.
We do. It's weird. You've said that before.
I have that issue. My brother has that issue. We're like super nice to strangers and like terrible to our family.
Yes, you brought that up recently. Yeah. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like I just said earlier, my dad's been doing everything for me since I've been home. And he asked me to do one thing. And I was like, dad.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but for those girls or for the people who work at Victoria's Secret, I was like, I don't want them to feel bad about society. So I'm going to clean up the bras.
This happens to me if Paul and I go and sit at a bar and like say we get there right before another couple comes and
you'll clean the table off.
No. And we sit down and I'm like, but they wanted the seats. And Paul's like, we got the seats. We were here first. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but they're standing. Mm-hmm. He's like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
We could have I feel like we could have a good person off, like a competing.
Yes.
It's like yesterday I went to the DMV, got New York plates finally. And a guy, we had this moment where socially, what do you do? I walked in and he was already in the DMV, finished filling out paperwork. And I was walking at a brisk pace. So I was headed for the line. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he finished whatever he was filling out and was not at the same pace as me to be able to get into the line before me. But he was clearly there in the space first, but I was walking the line first. I let him go first. Mm. I was like, no, you know, why? Momentum. Yeah, the only reason I'm here is momentum.
Because I'm younger.
I'm younger and I'm walking faster.
Yeah.
But you would have had the spot in line had I not been walking briskly. Please have the spot in line. And he kind of looked at me like,
weird.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
But it was like rightly his.
And how many times have you said I'm sorry in a scenario where the person should have said they were
Always. Always. Yeah. And I actually hit a point though where I think that's when I started understanding people going postal, because I remember one day in LA, this woman, I was in Beverly Hills. My brother was visiting. We parked to give him the tour of Rodeo Drive, and I got out to put money in the meter. I put money in the meter, and she like walked into me at my meter. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I was standing stationary at the meter, and she bumped into me, and I said, oh, I'm sorry. She gave me a dirty look. I like lost my mind, and my brother saw me looking absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But that happens over and over and over.
Right.
And then finally you break, and then you just like lose it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so the being a good person thing, I think, can get very exhausting, mm-hmm. which I'm surprised doesn't weigh you down more than it does,
mm-hmm.
because you're in constant need to make other people around you comfortable and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eventually start to feel like it's wearing on you and that you want to blow up because no one's showing you the same courtesies?
No.
That's good.
No, but
that's good.
No, I don't. But I think, and I'm going to sound like an asshole on this with my husband, but he is the most courteous person of me. I think I get enough from him. It sounds so lame.
That is really lame.
It sounds like vomit. Terrible, but sometimes he does things for me and I'm like, why are you doing that? That's so nice.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's great. Because
it's incredibly annoying.
Yes. And I didn't grow up seeing that in
no,
my
you didn't.
Life.
I can vouch for that.
And so when it happens, which is a lot, like there, he just does things because he loves me.
Well, that's a really good point. I think people get really frustrated when nothing's working out in their personal world mm-hmm. and the external world. But you have something.
Yes.
If you have something sturdy and strong
you
in your personal world, mm-hmm. what happens on the outside doesn't make as
matter.
Much of a
yeah.
difference.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So this is kind of, I think, like the grateful portion mm-hmm. of the show since
Thanksgiving.
You have to give some stupid thanks to shit and mm-hmm. stuff. What are you thankful for besides your amazing husband? besides
husband
your incredibly
the best
annoying husband.
Husband in the whole wide world.
Did
so
I say
great.
Husband? I have a husband.
I have
a
husband. We got married. He's my husband.
Have you seen my ring?
Have you seen it?
Yeah, Kristen? You've been doing that like the whole
no,
show.
No, I have not. Oh my God. Do I really have to say what I'm grateful for?
Yeah, a couple things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
I am grateful. There's a lot. It sounds so stupid, but when you think about it, there's a lot of things. Like I'm just grateful for my day-to-day life and my family and my friends and my job.
Your Boarfest.
My dog.
Boarfest. I mean, I don't know what else someone should be grateful for, though. Those are the things you should be grateful
Can
for.
Can I say what I'm going to focus on this Thanksgiving,
yes.
which has been something that I've been thinking about?
Cranberry sauce.
Oh. So, yeah, what I'm focusing on. So, I've lost recently a lot of people from that awesome generation that we're losing. So, what is that? Like the World War II generation?
Like our grandparents?
Yeah. My last sister of my grandfather passed away, and it really hit me. And so her husband's still alive. And so I've been really focusing on like talking to him and hearing stories. So that's what I'm looking forward to on Thanksgiving is just sitting with him and having him tell me stories because he's kind of the oldest in the family and he has awesome stories to tell. So I'm going to try to take advantage of that and talk to him.
What is really disturbing is the fact that those stories will no longer exist
yeah,
at one point.
I want to hear everything.
Yeah. It's like treasured.
I know.
It's mm-hmm. it's like you can't buy this anywhere. You can't find it. It's mm-hmm. priceless.
Yep.
And I guess I have to say what I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Oh, was I supposed to ask you that?
No.
Oh.
No. No. What's like when you're in sixth grade and you're like, what's your favorite color? Purple. What's your favorite color? Like that's how it would feel if you asked me. So I'm glad you didn't.
Yes.
I am grateful for, well, first of all, that quote that Paul said, which is.
Yeah. Happiness doesn't lead to gratitude or
gratitude leads to happiness. Happiness doesn't lead to gratitude.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
So gratitude leads you to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So the past week or so, I have been focusing on being more grateful, which sounds weird. And I'm not doing it with any sort of theme in mind. I'm not doing it because Thanksgiving's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because I'm very grateful to be on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels wonderful. And it feels like I was just released from prison after a 55-year sentence, wrongly accused, not even ever doing anything, but being there anyway. And I feel wonderful being out of prison. And I'm really sitting with the feelings and being grateful that I'm getting them and that I know this time is fleeting.
Yeah.
Like I'm currently hanging with my parents. I really am going through an experience right now, transitioning from the West Coast to the East Coast mm-hmm. in a good way. And part of the reason I've been listening to the Hamilton soundtrack is because there's a song where he said, I'm not throwing away my shot.
Yeah. I know that.
I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's the only song I know.
But I keep listening to that because I feel very lucky that I'm in a position to be able to talk to people in a way in which they relate, and I'm in a position where I'm very, very lucky to be able to do what I do. And so I'm trying to appreciate that and look at it like, whoa, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like if I told myself at 20, when you're 35, you're going to be getting to have your own show where people listen to you and tune into you and donate to you online to listen to you talk, I'd be like, well, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to really see things for what they are. So I'm really trying to pull away that fog or that mist around what the actual truth is.
Right.
The actual truth is I'm very lucky. I'm in an amazing position and things could be so much worse.
Yeah.
They could be better.
Good to think about that. Yeah.
But they could be.
Good perspective.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I don't know. But I don't want to talk about that because it's like, it does feel cheesy.
It feels weird when you say things like,
yeah,
like that.
It doesn't feel natural. But I do have these feelings. Like I am an appreciative person. I appreciate the beauty in things. Mm-hmm. And I love, like, we both just saw Bohemian Rhapsody and we both loved it. Mm-hmm. And I feel grateful that I am moved by things that I could even enjoy a movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I went to a movie.
That's crazy.
I know.
Why don't you ever go to the movies?
I don't know.
You seem like you'd be a good movie goer.
Mm-hmm. I do like popcorn, but I like to lay down.
That's weird because I like to lay down, but I love going to the movies. I think because I lay down too much during the day that I need to stand
but
up at night.
The movie theater I went to, the seats were awesome. So maybe I'll start going to the movies more.
All right. Well, any last thoughts on having a friend with depression and how much you wish you had a different one?
No, I think this podcast has brought me back a little bit. I was going to give up on you, but this has brought me back.
Well, I'm so grateful you didn't. No, I really am.
No, I never was going to give up on you. That's why I keep pushing. So if you're frustrated with a friend, just keep pushing.
Keep being super annoying.
Keep joking. Keep bringing up the good times and tell them that you're grateful for them.
You should.
Yeah.
This is the cheesiest Jen and I have ever been. And that says a lot because we've literally been on stage doing the cheesiest dances of all time. And so if this is the cheesiest, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. But you know what comes after Thanksgiving?
Christmas.
Haul out the holly. Put up the tree before my...
It's humiliating. We weren't the singers, just for the record. No. We're not like Britney. I mean, well, but,
no.
Our dancing
we're not like Christina.
No.
We're a little bit like Britney.
We're more the Britney. Less of the Christina, for sure.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say you're beautiful, but I started singing that other one. Never mind.
Yeah, that was like a weird place.
Every day is so wonderful.
Oh, okay.
But I started singing the other one. Never
you
mind.
You are beautiful. That's more my range. I just wanted to show off that I did my finger. All right, we're going to do segments really quick.
Are they good segments?
Yeah, not really. So who is sadder? Someone with a depressed friend or someone with no friends? Would you rather have a depressed friend or would you rather have no friends?
That's a given.
Yeah, no, but I feel like the first way I asked it made more sense. Would it be sadder to have a friend who's depressed? Yeah, no, it's pretty obvious. I don't know why. Damn it.
Any kind of friend is, I'll take.
Yeah, I guess. See, I'd say the opposite.
Yeah, I know. You're like, no.
Yeah, I don't want the headache. Yes. Well, you know what's interesting is that growing up, my dad always, always, always jokingly, but always said, who needs friends when you got enemies? And my family doesn't really have any friends. And so I think I've internalized that or something because I really have never cared about friends. I had like one random friend, you know, it seems like more of a responsibility than a joy, but the wrong friends.
Yeah,
that's in reference to the wrong friends.
Yeah, you want those friends that you can just like, you can not talk to them for a while and then hang out and feel fine and not feel like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't call you back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't
the
do
social
that.
Pressure friends aren't the real friends.
No, yeah.
It's the people you can just literally hang out with. And I'm sure you can, but you know, because we had a childhood together of traveling and a way to become very intertwined and close so we can be like this now.
Mm-hmm.
But can someone meet a friend when they're 20 years old and have the kind of comfort that we do, the level of comfort, or will they always have some formality?
I was thinking about this as we were talking before. I think another thing that sets you apart from like my other friends is your relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
Like that makes it so much different.
Like
so
I'm dating them.
Yeah. And I think in some instances, Kristen's dating my dad.
And her mom.
And my mom sometimes. When she's in the mood.
She's the third wheel. And that'd be so funny if like I was hanging out with your dad and your mom was the third wheel, not me.
I could see it actually.
I could too. Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah, no, so I think it can happen, but I don't know if it could happen to me.
Because that's the problem with me. It's like it's hard to find other friends that you can kind of just hang with like this. Mm-hmm. And these are the only friends that I really want.
Yeah.
And so since I can't really find that at this point in life, I'm okay without too many friends. Mm-hmm. I really just need a husband.
Mm.
Because it's like having that go-to person. So we're being social, but you're not being social at the same time. You know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if anyone's interested.
That's my next goal. You'd be so hard to find a husband for.
Oh my God, I know. I can't even imagine. I can't.
No.
I can't imagine someone who would match with me.
I want to find you one.
It's not going to happen.
Maybe that's, we should like shift the podcast, or we should do like a spawn of this podcast. And it's just like me bringing in guys and you talking to them.
Yeah, like a dating.
But like.
Like a 1996 show dating. What was that
like
one?
Like a Love Connection.
Love Connection. Yeah. But podcast Love Connection.
Yes.
No,
it's on again.
Show.
Andy, what's his name, does it?
Cohen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's he?
I don't know. Just the man that's created all the shows that you love.
I know. That's all I watch.
I know. Next one. Guess the meds, which we don't do often. Mm. But since I have a professional.
Oh, God. Putting me on the spot.
You know how I mentioned earlier, I was afraid you'd see me favoriting things on Twitter?
Yes.
This was one specifically.
Okay.
It was a video of Juliette Lewis in her car singing to Britney Spears.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No.
All right, so please watch and everyone else can listen.
Can't you save us, Britney Spears? Can we be saved? God, why is Satan controlling the universe?
Okay, the beautiful thing about this, I swear to God, the day before I was in the car jamming. It was but then I put on work bitch.
Yeah.
Well, it was just jamming in the car.
Did you see that statistic that since that
came?
I liked someone's tweet that had the statistic of
tell us what the statistic is.
Her when her Work Bitch song came out, like the unemployment rate, went down.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yes. Yes.
And so Britney should be president.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, what was that video of Juliette Lewis? What was that about?
Why are you asking me
guess
that?
Guess the meds. That's the segment.
Oh, you think she's on meds?
Or guess the meds she would need or what caused her to...
I was thinking like meth.
Right. Guess the meth.
Guess the meth. Yeah, she was on something, some upper.
She looked drunk though. Do uppers make your eyes look googly?
In the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, later. It's a...
once you're coming down.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are like uppers? So meth is considered an upper, is it?
Yes.
Like, so it'd be like Adderall, Ritalin... Yeah. Vyvanse, which I've talked about on the show, which I've taken, which I don't want to talk to you about. So I'm afraid you'll judge me.
Why?
Because I've taken Vyvanse.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do. There's kids that are on Vyvanse in my school.
How do they act?
They all act different.
Can you tell they're on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
By like, what are they doing?
They're calmer. Yeah.
Are they focused?
They're supposed to be, but not always.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a kid on Vyvanse.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. As an adult, it's
you should see how many meds kids are on. Why? What is it like for you? You're hyper-focused?
Hyper-focused, and it feels like it gives me will to live. I don't take it a lot, and I can't, and I wouldn't, but like, it's a weird, hyper-focused, yet passionate, yet not focused because you want to do everything, but it's incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm. But you just don't want to take it all the time. Why are you scared? Why are you afraid to? Because it affects you so much.
Well, just because it's like one of the. It seems too intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like heavy duty.
Yeah.
And I don't like. I don't feel like I need heavy duty, but I think I do
sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
No, she's definitely either, or she could just be like angry. Maybe she's not at anything.
She was definitely on something.
Okay.
I looked like this when I was angry,
can I look at it again?
No one would take me seriously.
I need to look at it again.
Can you save us, Britney Spears?
She looks drunk.
Yeah, her eyes are really googly.
Yeah.
But she's driving.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if you're high or on meth or sober as can be. When that song comes on,
yes,
you need to dance.
You do.
You need to do the head bop like she did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's one of your least favorites. Work Bitch, isn't it?
No.
You like her earlier stuff.
I do, but I love Work Bitch because I love the message. If you want a Bugatti,
you
better
gotta work
bitch.
For it. I know. I love working. If you don't want to work out, put on Work Bitch and you will all of a sudden be like shimmying to your car into the gym. I love that song so much. That is the most motivating song.
But no, that's actually one of my favorite Britney songs. I am all about working.
Yes, you are. That's very true. And it's so weird that it's one of my favorites because I am not about working. All right, last segment, Freudian slips, just words.
Oh, you're doing that? I was hoping you're going to do
really?
This with me. Yes.
Okay, good.
I hope I'm good.
Well, I don't have everyone,
it's hard to be good at this.
Okay. Bottle.
Baby.
Dog.
Ears.
No, it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
It really hard? Snow.
I just thought of rain first. I don't know why.
It's your brain goes to default basic.
It does.
And don't try. Don't try hard.
Okay.
Gasoline.
Puerto Rico.
Kayak. I'm like, do we get gas from Puerto Rico?
Flights.
Oh, kayak. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Grass.
Green.
Throughway.
Ugh. That's what I think of.
Hamburger.
I think, I saw a visual. Can I tell you my visual?
Yeah, yeah.
The Hamburglar. I saw
His
eyes. Okay. Like the thing.
That's cute. That's cute. I like that. Hair.
Because I usually like cheeseburgers. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. What is unusual to hear hamburger over cheeseburger?
Mm-hmm.
If you hear hamburger, it might take your brain longer to compute that, I feel like. I'm very deep. And I know my studies. I know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Hair.
Broadway.
Oh, okay. I like where that went. Instead of yours, like head.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your mind is. Jen grew up dancing. Love dance. Okay. Whistle.
Wiener.
Doesn't a wiener have
a
whistle?
Like
okay.
A wiener whistle.
Yeah. Yellow.
Sun.
Teapot.
Steam.
Grandmother.
I just saw a sad face.
Aw. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That was good. That was deep.
Yeah.
Lawnmower.
Grass.
Pizza.
Pepperoni.
Boring.
Mm-hmm.
You had a couple good ones so far. Okay. A few more. Mercedes.
My parents.
Treehouse.
Beer.
Airport.
Pajama pants.
That's a sad state of affairs.
I know.
That's where we are in the world.
That's what I was just picturing. People just like this.
Yeah, you're good. You're doing good. I like where you're taking
these.
I'm
doing visuals. I'm using visuals to help me.
I think that is, definitely making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Skin.
I was thinking just, when I saw skin, I saw like a sunburn.
Okay. Okay, two more. Belly button.
Lint. Although I've never experienced that. I swear.
I know. I have it. Oh, no. I had a bug in my belly button.
Oh,
I swear to God. It was the night before. No. I've never mentioned this on the show. It was the night before I left California.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up. I was on the couch because my dad was in my room. Woke up. Was like itching my belly button. Mm-hmm. And I just figured it was just dry or something. Mm-hmm. There was a bug in it.
That's weird.
And I was like, okay, this is telling me to leave.
To shower.
To shower. Well, I mean, it had been 4 years,
yes,
but
it was time.
So it could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last one.
Yep.
Martini.
Olive.
Okay. All right.
I have a question for you. Can you name three celebrities that are depressed?
Yes.
Can you name them?
Yes.
Right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, does it have to be straight up depression or can it be like...
Mental illness.
Mental illness. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Boy, girl... Or in between.
Well, the one that always comes to me immediately is Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
She's,
Heather
Locklear. Heather Locklear.
Uh huh.
And oh God, there's so many. But like, oh God, it's harder.
One more. Just one more, because we're not done yet. After that, go.
I want to say Charlie Sheen, but I don't really think he's depressed. I think he's just addicted
Yeah. So now that you give me those three, Mary Shag Hill.
Mary. Catherine Zeta-Jones. Kill.
But don't go down on her. Because that's, isn't that how her son, her
oh, yes! Oh, my God. Oh my God, he got throat cancer.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Kill Charlie Sheen and shag Heather Locklear. I like that game though. That's fun.
I made my brother-in-law do that with all his three kids.
Oh my God, that is messed up. That's horrifying.
And he answered.
That's the weirdest
thing. Answered. That was the most
to marry thing. Shag kill.
Yes.
What a good sport.
Yeah.
And a sicko. But thank you for that fun game. And
yeah.
Thank you for being such a good friend.
Uh-huh.
And this
and you too.
No, I'm a terrible friend. I know it. All right. Well,
have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be.
So on Patreon, we're going to be watching a Christmas movie. So if anyone wants to join in, please go to patreon.com. Please go to patreon.com/ mentally chill. And we may be watching one suggested from the listeners, or we may be living in a dictatorship and watching the one that I suggest, which will be the Christmas story or a Christmas story, which is my favorite. And anyone else wants to hit me up, please go to Instagram at Chris Karn. And thank Jen for being such a wonderful friend, for keeping me here on this earth. And remember, stay sad enough to listen,
but not too sad.
And have yourself a merry little Christmas in about a month.
Okay, bye.